Well, good evening. I want to direct your attention to Matthew. And Matthew, the tax collector, the publican. And the text that I direct your attention to is Matthew 9. Let me lead us in prayer. Lord, what a privilege it is for us to fellowship together as Samuel has challenged us with, the privilege of gathering together freely and openly to fellowship together and to worship you. Lord God, we pray that our time together this evening might be honoring to you and beneficial to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a great difference between Matthew as we see him introduced in the early part of this chapter in verse 9, and as we are aware of his situation later on at Christ's death. He was a tax collector. He was a publican. He is a demonstration to us of the difference Christ can make if a person hears and responds to Christ's invitation of discipleship. Being a tax collector, Matthew worked well with the Roman government. Usually high Roman officials were given the responsibility to collect taxes and they often would designate or even offer that for people to bid on for the right to collect these taxes. And the highest bidder would have the right, the privilege, the opportunity, the responsibility to gather and collect the taxes that is required, and his profit would have been the amount that he was able to collect in excess to what was required. In many instances, those who purchased the right to collect the taxes were citizens of the country in which the taxes were actually collected. These tax collectors or publicans were universally feared, hated, and despised. Throughout the empire, though they may have been even more so in this promised land, in the land of Palestine, because of their loyalty and their devotion and their claim to this land by a gift from God. They were classified as sinners and harlots in the minds of the people. This explains part of the dismay and surprise of the Pharisees when they saw Jesus attending a banquet in the house of Matthew following his conversion. And so I want to direct your attention to Matthew tonight, and first the character of Matthew before his call. He was engaged in what was considered to be a despicable business. Evidently, he did not care about his reputation. For to be a publican was to be an object of criticism in the community. But this would have been affected him more than just him personally. If he was married, his wife would have felt ostracized from old friends and possibly even family members. And if he had a daughter, the options for her would have been extremely limited, for few would have been willing to pursue her or even consider the possibility of having a tax collector for a father-in-law. One would expect anyone who would pursue this occupation would have been driven by greed. However, it could have been that Matthew was just an extremely practical man. logical, saw that this was an opportunity to make a significant living without a whole lot of effort. He would have not been considered a loyalist of his country. For being a tax collector, Matthew identified himself with the Romans that occupied the land. By the very nature of the case, by the very nature of his responsibility, it would have been necessary for him to have sought a working arrangement or agreement to be in favor with his superiors rather than looking out for the interest of his fellow citizens. By every acceptable standard, he was considered an irreligious man, probably cut off from anything to do with temple worship. We see this suggested in the parable as Jesus taught in Luke 18, when two men came to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, the other, a tax collector. The Pharisee boasted of who and what he did. The tax collector stayed some distance away. Possibly he wasn't allowed to enter into the temple very close in that. In fact, it is suggested that he wasn't even allowed to enter into the court of the Gentiles. And from the story of Zacchaeus being a chief tax collector, we see there was probably ranking in the tax collectors. And Zacchaeus was a chief of tax collectors. Matthew, it is assumed because he was manning a pole, a booth, he was manning a place probably in a very obvious situation in the entrance of the city. He could have caught the travelers that were coming in and acquired the taxes that were due. Matthew would have had a lot of face-to-face encounters with people. And because of that, he was probably despised even more. Would someone read for us Matthew 9, verses 9 to 13, please?
And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician.
Thank you. So we have looked very briefly at what life was probably like for Matthew prior to his conversion. Now we see his call to a higher life. What was it about Matthew, this man, that would have caused him to drop everything at once to follow Jesus? In my study and reading, it is suggested that the best answer for that may have been his training as a child, knowing who he was, a Jew, with the knowledge of the Old Testament. It is safe to understand that Matthew had a good working of the Old Testament, because later when he wrote the book of Matthew, one of the Gospels, one of the early Gospels of Jesus Christ, Matthew quoted the Old Testament 99 times, more than all the other Gospels together. And at some point in his life, probably after he had made the decisions of the situation in which he was in, he was smitten by a hunger, a spiritual hunger, for more than what he was experiencing. You know, I had thought about that, Beth, and I thought, oh, I'm okay. Thank you. Of course, God too was seeking after him. We already were confronted with the expression of the hound of heaven today. When God pursues, it's an amazing situation. Matthew provides us with a dramatic demonstration of the truth that Jesus did not come to save just the innocent or the pure or the refined. Over and over again, Jesus declared that he had come to the world to save sinners. In fact, even in the context, it is not those who are healthy that need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in his first letter, "It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all." Without doubt, Matthew had heard much about Jesus before this day. Before Jesus invited him to come and to follow him. It was quite possible that Matthew had heard even him preach or him teach. He would have heard some of the results of his miraculous healings and work, his powerful engagement with his people. Perhaps he recognized the unique character of Jesus to the extent that he readily responded to this divine invitation. Matthew's wealth had lost its luster. It no longer satisfied the hunger of his soul. No amount of wealth can satisfy the deepest hunger of the heart. And Jesus could see in Matthew, the publican, the possibility for good. As a naturalist can see the oak in an acorn, so Jesus could see the apostle in Matthew. The choice of Matthew, a man hated and despised by his contemporaries, illustrates the power of the living Christ to transform and to elevate a higher possibilities of life of an individual who would respond to him. What I find interesting concerning Matthew is, aside from this initial attack, the Pharisees never went after him anymore. Or if they did, you'll have to identify it to me because I couldn't find it. Matthew, a tax collector. I don't know if Jesus protected him, but I would suspect that maybe this was a fulfillment of what was later to come in written to Timothy. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. I think the transformation that took place in Matthew was so significant that they had nothing that they could stick on him. Now, I don't have evidence for that, except for the evidence of silence, that they didn't seem to be hounding him. The cost of Matthew to follow Jesus. Luke's gospel records that Matthew left all, rose up, and followed him. It says in Luke, after that he had went out, he noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me," and he left everything behind and got up and began to follow him. Matthew forsook his business, his hopes of wealth, his security, or his security as he knew it, and followed Jesus. And what does he do then? He hosts a banquet. And from Matthew's pen, it doesn't seem like much of an affair. He wrote in verse 10, "Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the temple of the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples." And so the only description that identifies this was there were many. There were many tax collectors and sinners. Luke paints a little different picture of this. In Luke 5:29, "And Levi gave a big reception for him in his house. And there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with him." It seems as Matthew refers to himself in his book, he took a very humble approach. Luke probably gives us a clearer picture of what this was all about. It was a big reception with a great crowd. I find it interesting when I observe people who have been when they have been unchurched for most of their life, and they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are some of the best evangelists in the church, because they just want to tell everybody what has happened and tell them about Jesus. It may be because as we are years and years in the church that we have lost touch with any of the unsaved. That may have been. But when Matthew comes to receive Jesus as his Savior, to follow him, he wants to tell everybody he knew about the Lord Jesus Christ, who Jesus was, and who were his friends? Tax collectors and others who were rejected by the social elite. And what was the cost of following the Lord? In our materialistic society, that is the question many ask or wrestle with. They feel that the Christian life is boring and restrictive. Oh, how wrong they are. For the Christian life is full and satisfying and rewarding, even in this life. I heard of this situation. A sincere Christian was earnestly trying to share Jesus Christ with a friend. And when confronted with, "Well, what will I have to give up to accept this Jesus of whom you speak?" And his response, I think, is precious. To become a Christian, the only thing you must give up are the things that are going to ruin you if you don't. Wow. What a great response. And finally, the compensation of following the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew forsook the assurance of worldly success, but in doing so, he gained both inward satisfaction in this life and eternal success as he worked with the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. From every standpoint, Matthew became a better man and was no doubt personally surprised to discover later on that he was given the responsibility to record one of the earliest accounts of the life of Jesus Christ. See, when he left his tax booth, he took his pen. And not writing names and figures, under God's guidance, he wrote one of the first accounts of Jesus' life. According to the introduction of Matthew in Ryrie's Study Bible, he writes, Matthew was written to the Jews to answer their great questions about Jesus of Nazareth, who claimed to be their Messiah. Was he, in fact, the Messiah predicted in the Old Testament? If he was, why did he fail to establish the promised kingdom? Will it ever be established? What is God's purpose in the meantime? Thus, in this gospel, Jesus is often spoke of as the Son of David and the one who fulfills the Old Testament prophecies of Messiah. And the kingdom of heaven is the subject of much of the recorded teaching. Matthew is also characterized by its inclusion of people outside of Judaism. The closing verses records the commission to go into all the world, and only in Matthew does the word church appear in the Gospels. Jesus is also designated as the son of Abraham, for in Abraham all the families of the earth shall be blessed. By deciding to follow Jesus, Matthew discovered a fuller, richer life, as well as a glorious companionship of walking and living and learning from Jesus Christ. The Matthew discovered a better work than what he had ever dreamed of before. Being a follower of Jesus Christ doesn't compare with being a tax collector of that previous position that he had. There's just no comparison to that. I hope you have had a similar experience as God has been working in your life. In compassion, the living Christ confronts us as he did Matthew. He challenges us to forsake the condemned things of this world and choose the eternal. He wants to utilize our talents for a nobler purpose than what you and I have ever imagined. With your life, he can also write a message of love, mercy, and purpose in the lives of others. May we have eyes to see Jesus as he steps into our life. May we have ears to hear him as he invites us to follow, to serve, and to exalt him. I knew we were going to have some time tonight, and so I want to take a bit of time and give you an opportunity to share. And I know that this is going to sound like potentially giving you an opportunity to boast, and I don't think that it is. Because what I'm asking you is I would ask you to share what changes has following Jesus Christ made in your life. Significant changes in Matthew. What changes have you been able to see God has worked in you as you have followed your path and keeping your eyes on his son? Will you share with us? Let me lead us in prayer. Lord, we have heard many testimonies of what you have done and what you are doing. And like Matthew, you extended an invitation to him to come and follow. And we have responded to that same invitation and have many life experiences as to what that has meant. And we share all of those to your glory. We thank you for the faithfulness that you have demonstrated in our lives, and we do not deserve nor desire any of the credit, for this is God's doing, and it's wondrous in our eyes. Thank you, Father, for the privilege we have to exalt you together. Thank you for the work that you're doing in us. Lord God, we pray that we might be found faithful to the opportunity that you continue to give to us to serve you. Be glorified in us. Be glorified in this ministry here in Forest Baptist Church. Thank you for such privilege of being able to call you our Father, to know that your Son is our Savior, and your Holy Spirit indwells within us. Lord God, to your glory, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.